Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. So welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. Today's bookish guest is Tony and Wendy from Live Wallflower Podcast. Hi, Tony and Wendy.
Hi. Hi.
So each one of you will tell us a little bit about yourself.
So thank you so much for inviting us and having us on your show. This all just feels like a dream and we feel so, so very blessed. I'm Wendy. I am born and raised in California and I've been living in Hawaii for a little over 9 years. I work in event planning and corporate sales for a local company and been in event planning since I was 18. So it's so much fun and I love it so much.
Hi, I'm Tony. I'm born and raised in Hawaii. I've been a part-time nurse aide for over 12 years. Unfortunately and fortunately, the retail shop I managed closed pre-pandemic, so I'm on a podcasting and reading vacation until I find a new full-time job. I'm loving and grateful for my break right now. I can figure out like what my next career will be, and I have time to read more without losing any sleep.
I still lose sleep. I've read the Spindle Cove series like I don't even know how many times already, and I still stayed up last night to finish one of the books. Like, I'm mental.
I feel you. I feel you. The job search in the pandemic has been interesting. I actually moved to Chicago 2 weeks prior to COVID hitting. So I actually have been job searching and just like, and I got a job right now, which is great, but I'm like, I need a real vacation. Like, I need to catch up with books. And I'm like, I tell my job, it's like, I'm so sorry, but I need to read after work. Like, I can't do overtime.
It is
one of those things where, you know, it's been interesting just to experience that during the pandemic. So, So you host a romance podcast, Live Wallflower. Tell us a little bit about the podcast.
So we take themes from a historical romance, and then we relate it back to how we can use the examples given from the book and apply them into our lives. For instance, The Viscount Who Loved Me by Julia Quinn. Both of the main characters had very deep-rooted fears that were triggered by a death in the family. So we explore how to get over our fears using Anthony and Kate for references, and we speak of every character as if they're our friends, and we talk about it like it happened yesterday and it is a very real situation that we need to follow.
Some of the topics are pretty serious though, like others are kind of a play on what's happening in the book. For instance, A Week to Be Wicked by Tessa Dare, which is one of everyone's favorite, finds the two main characters traveling from Sussex to Edinburgh. They run into all kinds of issues, not including clashing and falling for each other. For that episode, we discuss how to be a good travel buddy using Colin and Minerva's situations as references. And at the end of every episode, we have a segment we coined Pottail Pondering. A pottail is a play on words stemming from a pot of tea and a cocktail. We introduce a whiskey of the series and talk about its flavors and what it pairs well with, like food or like other like chasers or whatnot. We do drink that specific whiskey with ice cream tea throughout the episode. We then discuss a random current subject ranging from the Bridgerton's Netflix updates to things happening in the bookstagram world, like polls, voting, casting for books, and shows from Turkey. Mm-hmm. Have you watched any Turkish shows?
I have, because they're big in Turkish telenovelas, are big in Puerto Rico. So I watch quite a few of them every time I go home to see my family. They're putting it to Turkish telenovela, so they're dubbed in Spanish. So I watched it.
Wow. We're jealous. Like, we have to, you know, get the bootleg, like, not sure if this is being translated correctly. And, like, right now, like, the big show that's, like, in like, the Bookstagram world that we're in is Erkan Çıkış. Have you watched that?
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, it's
so what amazing. Is the show?
What's that?
What is the show about?
It's basically, so if you ever read in a book about secret stolen glances and pining, this like show puts it into your face so that you can see it and feel it. And it's just, it's about, I think it's 51 episodes and it's 2 hours each. And it is it's just so amazing. And it's like reading a very long book and it's great. They're the two characters' chemistry. Like you feel it even when they first met each other and they don't like each other, you just feel it. And it kind of ruins it for other like shows and movies. Yeah. They're just like, you're just like, that ain't the chemistry that I saw, you know? But I'll forward you some links, but it's amazing.
Yes. That's amazing. I can't wait to watch it. Yeah, it's like Mexico has a big company dubbing Turkish telenovelas into Spanish speaking countries. So like there's like a big, it was like a big movement. Like they actually have like people in charge of doing that. Like there was
we
like
need to do that.
Yeah. So
like yeah. Our job will be to dub Turkish shows into actual English, and that will be how.
Yeah. So, I would watch that. I would definitely watch it. I'm like, hold on. So. So I got a question about A Week to Week Weekend, because you probably have read it and I have not read it. Does it have carriage sex or just one bed in the travel?
How should we describe? They do.
Yeah.
They do, but have you read, what is that book people had crossed?
From an Earl Deserves. Oh, I'm going to grab it. Go ahead. Sorry.
So there is sex in it, but how they end up in that situation, it's different from everyone else.
Okay.
It's very different from, it stems from more curiosity than from being together. So Actually, if you did you read One Good Earl Deserves a Lover from Sarah McLean?
No, I did not.
Because those two books, they remind us of each other because the heroine, they're both scientists.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I say, like, getting to that intimacy scene is more of a curiosity.
Exploratory.
Yes. Okay. Than other, like, oh, we're very passionate about each other. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Or we're married now. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So it's different. It's really different. I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people like that book.
Yeah. Okay. It's not like a typical happily ever after either.
Yes.
So I think that's why I think also it's very unpredictable because there's a scene where it kind of right towards the end at like the 95% in your Kindle and you know that this is where everything falls into place and it doesn't happen exactly the way that you think it does. So I think that's what people are like, oh, but do I like this better? You know, like, so...
I love it. Yeah, I haven't. I was gonna buy it today, so I may just buy it. I have a few books to read before I can get to it, but it's on my list to read. So, but yeah, I'm always curious.
I know you discussed it with Plotress too. They recently did an episode on that as well.
Yeah, they did. And I'm like, it's one of those Tessa Darers. Like I've been reading some of her backlist. I read the Castles of Our After series and then The Girl Meets Duke series, and I have yet to go to Svendokha with like the next series, and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Book 5 of Spindle Cove is the Castles Ever After like crossover.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So you're going in the right direction.
Awesome. That's awesome. All right, let's get back out of the tangent. Let's go to what is hard to get started.
So we were having so much fun reading books and rereading and then discussing them as if they were our friends and that it was happening in real life. So we kept joking, like, hey, like, we should start a podcast. We would see each other and we'd be like, oh, like, this is what our podcast would look like. And, you know, we're both extremely superstitious. And there were just so many signs that we should, like, stop joking about it and actually make it happen. And at one point I even had a dream of, like, that me and her sat down and brainstormed what our format should be. So, and that's how our format is today. And, you know, and it was so weird because all of a sudden we kept seeing London, Hampshire, like everywhere we went and we were just like, okay. And then, I was doing some marketing research homework for work. And basically the guy was like, do something you love, be authentic to yourself. Nothing is, no one can be you, but you. And we were just looking at each other like, well, there's nothing we do better than talking, one, and then talking about books. So we were just like, you know what, let's do it, you know? And he said, there's going to be about anywhere between 1,000 to 5,000 people that love what you love. And I was like, I'll take 5. So that's how we started. And we kind of changed a little bit since last year to this year, but pretty much from that dream, we still have stuck with that format.
I love it. That's so fascinating. I love when that happens. You know, you just kind of like, it just come together like really easy. Yeah. So that's really cool. I wish that was my story, but I love it when it happens to others. So, so what do you hope your listeners to get out from listening to your show?
So we hope that they get to relive the stories that they love so much with us. And take away a little something, even if that little something is a chuckle or a smile. We do have some pretty heavy topics, like how to not let health get in the way of dating and relationships. Some of the things we talk about are very personal to us, and we hope that if anyone is going through what we've been through or currently going through, they can relate and that our how-tos can help. Even if it's something as simple as reading that specific book to help put their situation into words. Books like laughter can be so healing. So have you ever read a book that touched your soul because you felt it was being written about yourself and your situation?
Yeah, I have. I have found books that, you know, it's not that easy to find books that are written that are reminding me of my story. There are few and far between, but it's like so nice to find those books and just explore. Like, I think Adriana Herrera writes really great Afro-Latino stories, and that they remind me of my childhood. Alexis Darga just wrote Yuhania Ola, and that actually she talked about Puerto Rican stories actually from Puerto Ricans from New York, which is where I lived before I moved to Chicago, and then Puerto Ricans from the island. And it was really great to see the contrast because I experienced both. And so that was like really cool to see books that can speak to your story.
Yeah. No, and sometimes like as Asian Americans, like we're told to not talk about our feelings, like hold them inside, like deal with it, you know, and reading a book that puts everything that you're feeling into words, it just makes you feel some type of way, you know, and you know that you're not crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I love romance for the reason that you get to see healthy relationships. You get to explore different feelings and different things and journeys and character things. So you get to see the whole picture of the character development. And it's like really cool to see and you get to experience and you're like, okay, this is what a healthy relationship looks like, or this is what a healthy relationship looks like. So
right. For sure.
Awesome. So, Tony and Wendy, you read romance. So, when did you start reading romance, and what do you love about the genre?
So, for me, when I was a kid, I always and only read like thrillers and suspense. Mm-hmm. Maybe I just needed a lot of drama in my life. I don't know. But my parents were pretty strict about spending money. But when it came to music and books, they just let me. There was no bounds when it came to that. So I know I'm internally grateful and beyond lucky for that. So when the Scholastic Flyer came out every month, my parents would let me get every single like R.L. Stine book, the Goosebumps series, Diana Hawes Nightmare Hall series, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. So if you're noticing a theme, it's all like very like thriller, darkish. And then in 2011, which kind of still fits the dark side, was I was obsessed with the Hunger Games. I like refused to read anything else. I think after my 15th time, my boyfriend was like, can you just please just like pick up another book and just read something else. And I wouldn't do it. And one day one of our girlfriends was like, just get her 50 Shades of Grey, like just get her the series, and she'll for sure jump off the Hunger Games train, right? Mm-hmm. And I did. That was my first official romance book, which was not that romantic. But after that, I was like, I became obsessed with that genre of romance, like the erotica genre. So I went into the Crossfire series by Celia Day, Lisa Renee Jones's Inside Out series, and just more and more erotica books. And some of them are starting to get like really, really dark. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need happy, you know? So I Googled best Cinderella themed book. And on the top of that list was Julia Quinn's An Offer from a Gentleman. And I bought it right away because I was like, I need happy, I need glitter, I need something, you know. So, and that's what started my obsession with historical romance. What I love about this genre, I think Sarah McLean said it best when she was speaking about 9 Rules to Break While Romance. Romancing a Rake. Callie, the main character, found herself in a situation where she was very unhappy with where her life has headed and where she is in her life. And she went and she did something about it. And that's what I love. And you mentioned it earlier. It's just like, I love the strong relationships of family and friends from all of these romance books. Like I once told Julia Quinn, like, I never understood what a healthy relationship even looked like before discovering her books, you know? And she opened my eyes to that. And the more I read historical romance, the more I started, you know, developing this like metaphorical key to open a door that I never knew that I wanted open, you know? Mm-hmm. And I found that you can have this amazing partner that has open communication, lots of love, not only for that person, but for myself and for all the people that are in my life. And like Sarah McLean said, like, it's really just taking the cards that we're dealt with, and no matter how good or bad those cards are, making it turn into a jackpot and in every aspect of our life, you know, like that's how I feel about romance and why I love it so much, because it's just like, you're not happy, do something about it. And it's going to be really, really great, you know? So I can like go on about that forever. So like, how about you, Tony?
For me, like, I consider myself pretty new to the romance book world. Wendy spoke of romance books since I met her like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Then early 2018, I was hooked by the pool scene from 50 Shades of Grey. Like, mind you, like, I've never seen the movies prior. I watched a scene and I started crying, wondering why Anna couldn't touch Christian. I'm wondering, like, I thought this was a romance movie, so I'm wondering why she can't touch him and why I'm having such a strong reaction. The next time I saw Wendy, like, we talked about 50 Shades. I borrowed her books and finished a trilogy, like, within a week.
It all started with 50 Shades.
And then after that, like, I asked her what's next, and Wendy said I should read The Viscount Who Loved Me, because I can relate to the hero regarding losing a parent and having a specific, like, psychological issue as a result. Mm-hmm. But she said that, like, the story is book 2 of the Bridgerton series by Julia Quinn, and I might as well start from the beginning with The Duke and I. Since then, I've been devouring historical romance books. Like, the universal message of romance books is love conquers all. And I love reading the different ways to achieve that concept as created by the talented writers. I love when, like, the writing gives us just the feels and emotions from the complexities within the stories. Like, I just want to feel, like, so I don't feel like I'm just cold and dead and stuff. a romance novel can make us like literally cry, then enlighten the mood, and we laugh because the banter between the heroes is like so funny. I love all of that. It's just like you're in another world, but at least you understand how they feel. And then also, like, I like watching Disney fairy tale princess movies as a kid, and it just made me happy because of the happily ever after. Like, to me, like, historical romance books are like adult fairy tales, and I wish they all turned into movies or TV series.
Me too. So let's talk about historical romance. What are some of your favorite historical romance authors?
We love Julia Quinn and Lisa Claypass. Also, of course, Sarah McLean, Tessa Dare, Eloisa James, Stephanie Lawrence, and Suzanne Enoch, just to name a few.
I love it. So I have to tell you, I read a couple of Stephanie Lawrence books, and they're like crazy cat. They're like so good, but they're like crazy addicting books.
Yeah. I think because there's that sub-genre also, that's why. She's very good at writing, like, intimate scenes.
Yeah, 30 pages long.
People want, like, passion in their books. That's the writer to read.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, the sisters, there's so many books out of it. Like, the whole family, there's a book for everyone in the family, which is great for a long series. But it's, like, crazy town. Like, it's, like... The sex scenes are long, like the whole murder plot, you know. Like, you're like, what am I reading here?
No, love it.
Awesome. So when it comes to your historical romance series, what are some different ones you've been done?
Of course, because it started all for us, we love the Bridgerton series by Julia Quinn. And we also love when our favorite characters pop up in different series. So for the Bridgerton series, it goes right into the Smythe-Smith quartet, and there's a little bit of overlapping, which we love. And then Lisa Claypass has the Wallflower series that goes into the Hathaway series, that goes into the Ravenel series. So we just, you know, and also Sarah McLean's Love by Numbers, and then it goes right into the Lord of Scoundrels. Basically, right where it leaves off, it goes into a new series. And what I love about it is just that these can be standalones, but then you can all, if you don't want these books to end, you got plenty more to go.
I interviewed Sarah. That interview is going to come live right before this happens. It's going to go live in a few weeks. And so she mentioned her new series is about grown men. And I'm like, I think there's going to be some crossover between the Burn Novel of Astors. I don't know any of this. This is me speculating. And the Girl Man series that she's writing. Like, it seems like you're both in the same underworld. Like, you know. Yeah. So
I love her so much.
Yeah. So
she recently did a How to Become a Writer.
Yeah.
Segment. Did you go to that?
No, I did not. Did you go?
I paid for it, and then I had to work, so I haven't downloaded it. I haven't actually had time to watch it yet, but yeah, like I admire her so much, you know.
She has the best book recommendations. Like, she went in, I was like asking her recommendations, like, here. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. And her website is great for recommendations. So now let's talk about romance tropes. What are some of your favorite romance tropes?
So I'm a sucker for all of them. I love every, like, just give me a historical romance and I just love them all. But I have like a very special place in my heart for enemies to lovers, which is like the entire Wallflower series almost. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably why I love that series so much. From that series, It Happened One Autumn, which is like the hate that they have for, and the banter that they have for each other from like book one moving into their book is just, I just love it so much. And the second, like very close, is Emotionally Constipated Heroes. It's like a term that Gigi Reed's Romance on Instagram has coined. And It Happened One Autumn, Marcus is extremely emotionally constipated, but I'm a sucker for those kinds of books. And when they're like put together, it's even better. but for Emotionally Constipated Heroes, nothing is more than Lisa Kleypas just covers that so well. Tom Severin from Chasing Cassandra, Winterbourne from Marrying Winterbourne, you know, Derek Craven from Dreaming. She just does such a great job with that kind of man, and I'm here for that. So what about you, Tony?
Same, like I also love like all the tropes. Of course, lovers to enemies to lovers is a really good one. But for me, I do love like when like the wallflower or like the unpopular ladies have their happily ever after. Like there's a Wallflower series by Lisa Kleypas and Spindle Cove series by Tessa Dare. Like Julia Quinn's My Smith Quartet series has like four like underdog heroines who find love. I love like Devil in Spring by Lisa Kleypas from her Ravenel series, like where the heroine, like she knows that she's not conventional. So she's focusing on building like a business, but she has to like marry the most eligible bachelor instead. But they fall in love anyway. Like, and then in the realm of like wallflowers, I love when the good girl, basically when the good girl gets the bad boy, like more specifically, like the quiet, underestimated, awkward wallflower showing her inner strength, and the devastatingly handsome guy falls in love with her. Like many people, I love Evie and Sebastian from Devil in Winter by Lisa Kleypas. Mm-hmm. And then like other wallflowers that are quiet are also in The Secrets of Sir Richard Kenworthy by Julia Quinn, Marrying Winterbourne by Lisa Kleypas, and I love Callie and like Nine Rules to Break When Romancing a Rake by Sarah McLean. And then like Olivia Parker's To Wed a Wicked Earl also has like a shy, bespectacled wallflower who lands the bad boy, but like there's a twist because the bad boy has been pining for her for like years. So I love that. And that's another trope that I love, the hero pining for the heroine, like in Lisa Kleypas's like Seducing at Sunrise and Secrets of a Summer Night. So, and then I don't know if I'm making up my own trope. I probably am. But I do love when like love knows no bounds and the hero and heroine go against the grain and they're from like different social classes. Like Tessa Dare's Any Duchess Will Do and Julia Quinn's Everything in the Moon. Yeah. What about you? Do you have a favorite trope?
So merger convenience and fake dating. I love me some Gretna Green eloping. We gotta get married right now. This pushing us together and then we fall in love. And so I'm a sucker for that.
You need to read Devil in Winter. Yes. That's everything you said.
Yeah. Devil in Winter is right there on the list. How to Catch a Sinking Film or Please. I just read that by Amy Rose Bennett that actually had that theme. There's a couple more that I have to think of top of my head, but those are, yeah, somehow the Gretna Green. I'm like, I see it and I'm like, oh my God, there's going to be more to convenience. Yeah. Yes.
No, that's my dream. Like, let's run away to Scotland and have a blacksmith marry us. Okay, bye.
Yeah, pretty much. So what is your least favorite romance trope?
So I had to like think really hard about this, but I don't have one. What about, I like eat them all up. I love them all. What about you?
Like it's extremely unlike me to find something wrong or unlikable about a book that didn't help the story become another favorite book of mine. Mm-hmm. If I truly, truly, truly have to choose a least favorite trope, it would be like friends, longtime acquaintances to lovers. Like friendship is important in a relationship, but the problem is simply me. I can't see myself falling in love with any of my current friends. It's weird. So like it's super weird. So like the trope is not relatable to me. But those books, like they turn out to be like the sweetest.
So sweet.
The sweetest, sweetest romance novels, and they turn into my favorites. For example, Just Like Heaven. And Romancing Mr. Bridgerton, both from Julie Quinn. Those books are friends to lovers trope, but I always find or associate a different trope with those books. So I end up loving it anyway, like even more.
Yeah.
Like like, instead of seeing Just Like Heaven as books to friends, I look at it as an underdog girl landing the eligible Earl. And romancing Mr. Bridgerton, the wallflower enlightens the charming bachelor and he falls in love with her. So in the end, no, there is no trope I don't like.
I love this. So Tony and Wendy, you both love contemporary historical romance. What have been some of your favorite books of this year?
So I love reliving stories. So I've been rereading the contemporary romance, The Trouble with Scotland by Patience Griffin from her Kilts and Quilts series, because I referenced the line in an episode. Plus the heroine is a wallflower. And that whole series is like a warm, feel-good Hallmark movie kind of story. Of course, I love the Wallflowers series. We went over that in our episodes this year by Lisa Kleypas. I love it. Can't say that enough. But I also love like rereading a Wallflower Christmas novella like any time of the year. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm still new to the romance world. So the majority of the books I've been reading this year are on the author's backlist. Mm-hmm. I love Suzanne Enoch's Lessons in Love series, The Rake, London's Perfect Scoundrel, and England's Perfect Hero. I loved and enjoyed like the sub-genre of mystery and spies in all 8 books of the Bastion Club series, especially Gentleman's Honor, plus the prequel, Captain Jack's Woman by Stephanie Lawrence. I'm loving the Wallflowers or Spinsters in the Spindle Cove series by Tessa Dare, especially A Week to Be Wicked and A Lady by Midnight. I'm in the middle of Do You Want to Start a Scandal from that same series, and it's already a favorite because of the spying and mystery aspect. Also, there are Wallflowers in Olivia Parker's At the Bride Hunt Ball and Two at a Wicked Earl, like I mentioned earlier. Also, that's a lot. But I love Beast of Bestwick by Emily Howard because it's an adaptation of La Belle et la Bête, like Beauty and the Beast. But it's also an adaptation of Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew, which I find interesting. But it was a really good read, really, really good read. Also, I loved learning about the protesting for women's rights and Evie Dunmore's Bringing Down the Duke. And of course, Lisa Kleypas is a favorite author. And I love her latest release to close out the Ravenel series, Chasing Cassandra. Lastly, Wendy, she ordered autographed copies of Julia Quinn's latest novel, First Comes Scandal, from the A Bridgerton prequel series, and it's hilarious. Love it. Love it. Yeah. Just finished it recently, too.
So I got a recommendation for you since you like spies. Have you read Kate Bateman?
Kate Bateman? No. Yeah.
So she has a new series, Bow Street Bachelor, Sir Spies, the first book in the series. The Me Cute, the setup of the Me Cute is the she's a rich heiress, and so she goes to prison to look for a husband, to marry to Venus, because he's going to be hanged the next day, so she'll become a widow. Well, lo and behold, the guy who she marries does not die, and so he's a spy, and so there's like a whole spy stuff. The second book is a jewel thief and then the Bow Street investigator who's in charge of figuring out what's going on. So it's a really good series. It's action packed, it's steamy, great historical stuff, but it's like, I definitely love that series a lot.
Wow. Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Hey, that's amazing. Thank you. We're taking notes too. For me, I've been struggling to pick up new books this year. There's just been so much going on in the world that I've just been finding comfort in reading all the books I currently have in my Kindle and in my home. But the other problem that I have is I like to read series when they're complete. So Chasing Cassandra that Tony already mentioned was released early this year. So after that, I like read the entire series in I think 5 days. I like barely slept that whole week because I was so like, I was so obsessed with it. The last book, there was like a lot of mixed reviews about Chasing Cassandra, but I thought it closed out this series really, really well. And, you know, I had my favorite, a hero that literally says he has 5 emotions only and that he loves a woman with curves. At one point he was like, she was like trying to not eat. And he was like, why are you not eating? She's like, I'm trying to reduce. And he was like, reduce what? Like he was just so confused. She's like, me. And he's like, why? So I just love that. And then I'm doing a buddy read with the Elizabeth Hoyt Maiden Lane series. Mm-hmm. I really like, I've been really enjoying that as well too. It's a lot different. It's not as like funny and witty as I usually like read, but I've been enjoying it a lot. And the sex scenes are a little intense, which which, you know, but I those are the two kind of series that I read this year that I'm enjoying a lot.
Love it. What are some of your most anticipated new releases for 2020?
So I'm looking forward to Evie Dunmore's A Rogue of One's Own, book 2 of A League of Extraordinary Women series. It's expected in September. Secondly, Tessa Dare's Love Letters from a Lord novella, just to finish out the series, of course. It's supposed to come out September also. Also, Emily Howard's The Rachel of Roth, book 2 of the Everlay Sister series, expected in December. And I believe that's an adaptation of Sleeping Beauty and Shakespeare As You Like It. Lastly, Wendy will mention the contemporary that I'm looking forward to.
Same for me with the Letters from a Lord novella by Tessa Dare. Like I mentioned, I only like to read series when it's complete. So a book coming out 4 years after the series is over has me all kind of like messed up in my head right now. So, but Sarah McLean's Daring and the Duke comes out next week, which is the last book of the Bare Knuckle Bastard. So I can't wait to read the whole series. As for non-historical romance, Samantha Young's The Truest Thing comes out in August. She is my favorite contemporary romance author. She like takes a slice of your heart and keeps it hostage till the end of the book, and I love that. So whenever I'm needing that kind of feeling, I definitely read her books. Have you read any of Samantha Young's books?
Yeah, she wrote on Dublin Sir, right?
Yes!
Yes! I finished that series like years ago. It was so good. It was before Bookstagram, before podcasting. I absolutely adore it. It was just like so good.
So Nate and Olivia from that from on Dublin Street series does a crossover novella with the current series that she's writing, which is Heart's Boardwalk.
Yeah.
So The Truest Thing comes out this August, which is like book 4 of the Heart's Boardwalk. And it's one of those like two characters that she's been like hinting at since book 1.
Mm.
And then now we finally get their story, and it's been a while too. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I read the novella and I was like, I got confused because I haven't read the Heart's Boardwalk series. Yeah, it was like, oh no, how about this stuff? But it was like, it's Nate and Olivia. You know?
Yeah, I love them.
So awesome. Which of books have you read in the past few months to recommend?
So I would recommend, like, if you want to read about blue stocking, women's rights, and girl power during Victorian London, then definitely read Bringing Down the Duke by Evie Dunmore. Secondly, read Chasing Cassandra, of course, Lisa Claypass, for body positivity and laughs. Also, if you love anything Bridgerton family related, read Julia Quinn's First Come Scandal. There is mention of Anthony, Benedict, and Colin as children, which is so cute. And the novel is like humorous, and then there's this unwanted Romeo, and then there's these protective cats. Ugh. It just made the novel so much better.
Checking
or not even just better, it's just like the cherry on top. It was really funny.
Love it. Yeah, I love First Come Scandal. I you know, I was so lucky enough to get to read it early. And it was like, I was pleasantly surprised how much I loved it. Like, it was just like perfect quarantine reading. That's what it is. So, awesome. So what books are TBR?
It's funny that you brought it up earlier. A fellow book lover commented that she loved the first six books of the 20 plus books of the Sinster series by Stephanie Lawrence. So I have that on my pile. Like, I hope to start the series soon, because the hero in the first book, they call him Devil. He's in like two or three of the series and from the Bastion Club.
Oh.
So, yes, yeah, at least two, but I think it's actually three. He makes an appearance in three of them.
I can imagine. He's the patriarch. Like, he's like the main hold on for the whole family. He's like the main guy.
Yeah, so, I'm really excited. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm like wondering, like, why did they call him Devil?
It comes right? And there's no, there's Devil, there's Lucifer, there's
Scandal.
Who's not a real scandal? They all the nicknames show up in the first book. So you just get to read them, and there's like everyone's nicknames and why they're nicknamed that way.
Oh, that's even better. Those are really good nicknames.
Yeah.
And then I've also seen posts of Loretta Chase's Lord of Scoundrels, and I recently found it at our used bookstore, so I have that on my pile. I recently added the books 2 through 5 of the Spy Master series by Joanna Bourne. And my TBR pile still has some backlist Julia Quinn and Lisa Kleypas books that I haven't read yet, like Prince of Dreams and the Cavendish, the two Cavendish books that you keep talking to me about, Wendy. And that's just like 25% of my pile. So there's more. I have a problem.
No.
It's a wall.
It's totally fine. So I'm currently on book 4 of the Maiden Lane series by Elizabeth Hoyt. So I have about 8 more books to go. And then everybody on Instagram has been talking about Lorelei James, A Silver-Tongued Devil, which is a cowboy historical romance, which I am totally here for that. And as I mentioned earlier, I definitely, once the book comes out, I definitely need to read the Bare Knuckle Bastard series.
I love it. Yeah, I read the Vernarco's Braster series. It's the back-to-back series. And it was just like, I think that's the way you should consume them. Because there's like so many Easter eggs and all these different things. And it's just like, they're all connected. So it makes so much sense. So
I love it.
That's awesome. So where can we find you online?
So you can find our first season on Spotify. And our current season is on both Spotify and Apple. And you can follow us on Instagram at Lit Flowers Podcast.
Lit Wallflowers Podcast. I'm sorry. Lit Wallflowers Podcast on Instagram.
Excited. Awesome. Follow our Instagram at Lit Wallflowers Podcast.
Awesome. Thank you, Tony and Wendy, for being in the show. I really love your recommendations.
Thank you for having us. We feel so honored. Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance-loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.